Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, HALO is here to help. HALO is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, HALO has something for everyone. HALO is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. Thank you for joining me today. My guest at this time, he's a diocesan leader from the Southeast United States, author, podcaster, Dan Boyd. Dan, how are you doing today?
I am great. Very happy to be here. Thanks so much for the invite and can't wait to talk about a topic that is dear to both of us.
Well, it's pleasure's all mine. I thank you so much for coming on. And of course, the topic we're going to talk about in this crazy environment we're in, what parishes can do and parents can do to catechize our children. So since you're familiar with the diocesan level, I guess we could start with the parishes. How has this whole thing affected parishes, and how are some parishes maybe adapting?
Yeah, so there's the ways that everyone's aware of, and that's people aren't showing up. They're not coming as in person nearly as much as they used to. And that means a lot of things. So all the way from, okay, now we've got to find a way to bring the gospel to people in their homes and what that looks like. So if people don't feel comfortable, they still have a right to the gospel. They still have a right to the faith. And so we've got to go to them and bring it to them. So that's a challenge, especially, 8 months ago, many people had never heard of Zoom. They'd never heard of virtual meetings for catechesis, and they would have scoffed at the idea. But then all of a sudden, when it's your only option, you start saying like, okay, maybe this isn't so bad after all. And then of course, many parishes are faced with staffing cuts. And so what may have been a full-time person who is in charge of catechesis now is a part-time person, or maybe what was a part-time position is now a volunteer position. And what you can expect of volunteers and what you can expect and just in terms of the time that they're going to give, and if you went from 40 hours to 20 hours, that's a challenge. So there's a lot of different limiting factors. But the good news is, what I've seen that's really promising is if people are willing to be creative, they can still be incredibly effective at sharing the faith with families and children.
So what are some of those creative things that people are doing or maybe should look into?
Yeah, so I think the best model that we can use right now is a hybrid of virtual and in-person. So to the extent that people are comfortable with in-person, what I would do is I would encourage parish catechetical leaders, so DREs and directors of discipleship, to equip the parents. So it's been a part of our faith that I think probably like almost every Catholic or definitely everyone involved in catechesis could say the parents are the primary educators, and they're the ones who have the primary responsibility and privilege, really. It's a great gift to be able to hand on our beautiful faith to their children, and we assist them in that task. And so This is one of those hidden benefits of the pandemic, and that before it was a little bit normal for parents to outsource the role of catechesis and evangelization to someone else and say, like, okay, well, here, you're the experts at this. You've got the degrees, you've got the training, you've got the experience. I'll bring them and you teach them. And now we have this great opportunity to say, well, you know, really all along, you should have been the one in the driver's seat. And that's out of really respect for you and the way that you want to hand on your love for God to your family. So now we're going to equip you. We're going to give you those skills. And so I would do something like a 3-to-1 ratio, 3 weeks out of the month. I would ask that parents lead the family in some kind of like evangelical catechetical discussion at home. And I would provide the resources for that. And so that could be anything from like a very formalized, like, okay, here's the textbook, here's the chapters, or here's some scripture passages that I think you could read together. Maybe it's the upcoming Sunday liturgy. Maybe it's more thematic based on what they need to learn in that year. And then some discussion questions to go along with that. So this is a great way to inspire dinner table conversations or conversations in the car ride, or, you know, everybody just sitting around after dinner. If that can be an opportunity to gather the family and say, you know what, we ordinarily would have been at church this evening learning about our faith. So we're still going to do that. We're going to gather. And then to still provide the witness of additional adults and the peer interaction of learning and talking about your faith from those who are your age. Once a month, I would invite families in to the degree that they feel comfortable. And if this is within the diocesan guidelines, to the adults can meet together and they can have an age appropriate lesson or kind of formation opportunity in the faith. And then young people could meet together and have an age appropriate formation opportunity on their own.
Now, this in-person week, is it like a summary of the 3 weeks that they've done at home, or is it just whole new material?
I would say there's some flexibility in that. So it could be kind of like a preparation for the upcoming 3 weeks. It could be a summary of the 3 weeks that had just occurred, or it could be something else entirely. They could say, all right, we really feel like you covered all of the bases when you went over those topics. You prayed together, you read the scriptures together, you talked about it together. So now we want to give you, say it could be something like, you know, we understand how important family relationships are and the dynamics that enrich family life. And so we're going to dedicate this time almost like a, you know, how do you have a rich Catholic family life? How is the domestic church vibrant and beautiful and prayerful? So it could be dedicated to that.
Okay. Now the 3 weeks at home, would you recommend the parishes maybe do like a blanket curriculum, or would you customize it for like the grade, the family, et cetera?
I would probably lean, my preference would be customization. Now, of course, that requires more work. And so it would be, you know, any conversation about faith with mom and dad, mom or dad is great. And I don't want to say like, well, if it's not at this level, then it's not good enough. I mean, that's any opportunity to for parents to share the depth and the reason for their faith would be outstanding. And so it's, one of my coworkers likes to say, focus on the archers, not the arrows. And the curriculum, those are the arrows. And you can hit the target no matter how you formulate that, you can still hit the target. So I think the reason it would be good to customize it based on age is appropriateness of topics and the discussion that you would want to foster. What you would want young kids to talk about would be different than what you would want older, like say older, middle, or definitely high school kids to talk about. And if you had a mix, then you would want both. And especially if someone was in a year preparing for a sacrament, then you would want those topics to be brought up.
Now, during this whole pandemic, have you seen, what's been your experience anyway? Have parents stepped up in your opinion, or is it kind of stagnant? Like, what do you think is going on?
The reports I'm getting are that yes. Be connected. And it's almost like for and know, hey, we're here for you. We want to support you. We want to support you in a human way, but also we want to support you pastorally and spiritually. They respond in kind. So it's like a one-to-one return, which is outstanding. You know, very little sense. I don't understand that. Was to step into the virtual realm, the virtual marketplace, or Agora, picked before. And so this family said, you know what, our parish really is here to support us. And we want to, if we have the opportunity and the resources, we'd like to support them in kind. And so I have heard they feel trusted, and they really appreciate both the opportunity to have this conversation and your encouragement, saying like, you, but no one does. So let's just get started. And then they really appreciate the flexibility.
Great. Now I want to shift gears for a moment. A few weeks ago, you launched a podcast. Can you tell us about that? Daniel, we froze up for a moment. Give me 1 second.
Absolutely. I would love to. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Give me 1 second here. I'm going to pause it, and I think one of my kids turned on a Wi-Fi device. Give me 1 second. All right. So, Daniel, thanks for sharing all this great information. And I know you launched another project recently. You have another one coming up. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast that recently came out?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. So the name of the podcast is Being and Making Disciples. And this was a growth out of a book that I'm writing with the co-host of the podcast, Justin Reyes. So Justin's coming from a business background. I'm coming from an education and educational leadership background. And so we take those perspectives of, okay, what's the main goal? So in a business, it would be, well, what's the bottom line? What are we trying to do? And so Justin brings that super focus to what's the main goal of being Catholic, of working for the church, and it's bringing people to Jesus. It's making disciples. And I think it's probably not hard to see that sometimes we can accumulate all of these extra tasks and responsibilities at work that aren't mission focused. They're more maintenance minded. It's bureaucratic, and they distract us from the main thing. I mean, just a simple question I like to ask people is, when is the last time you invited somebody to consider becoming Catholic? Because that's the last thing Jesus asked us to do. And so if it's been more than a month, we really need to stop and ask ourselves, what is more important to us than the last thing that Jesus asked us to do? And then from an educational leadership perspective, especially kind of understanding the best way to help people learn, the best way to foster culture, the best way to move a group of people, especially your volunteers and the catechists, along a path. But we couldn't fit all of those ideas into the book. And we said, we still want to share these with people, and the ideas in the book for people who don't want to read it for whatever reason, we want them to have access to this information too. So both the podcast and the book are all about returning to the fundamental vocation of the church, which is evangelization. And that's coming from the encyclical from Paul VI, which is Evangelii Nuntiandi, announcing the gospel. And there's some great pithy lines in there that say point blank, the church exists to evangelize. And so when we read that, we thought, wow, we need to help people reconceptualize what we're here for. And so each episode is kind of taking one facet of the way that ministry leaders can produce greater fruit and kind of use our talents and our resources better, especially today when we have so many refined resources about how to have successful events, how to market, how to target people well through social media advertising, what kind of culture you can create in the workplace, and then just some mental mindsets and frameworks that we can use to help guide all of our efforts along the way to hopefully get more results.
Great. How many episodes have you had so far?
So we just recorded the 5th and 6th episode last night. So those will come out. We release an episode every Monday. So we have 4 live right now, with the next 2 coming out in the sequential Mondays.
Oh, great. And where can the listeners listen to the podcast?
So they can, thanks for asking. So they can listen on Apple, on Spotify, on Stitcher, and on Google Podcasts, just to name a couple. I think we're also on, there's an Alexa one, like TuneIn, and through iHeartRadio as well. But the big ones, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, we're there as well.
Okay. Now
we have a Facebook page that's pretty active.
Okay, what's the name of the Facebook page? Thanks for mentioning that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so the Facebook page is just Being and Making Disciples. Just so that's all, those are separate words, Being and spelled out A-N-D, Making Disciples. And we've got several hundred members on there now. And the goal of that actually was to connect with ministry leaders from around the country, or really from around the world, and use that as a gathering place to say, what questions do you have about ministry? What are your challenges? Or what have you found to be most fruitful and successful so that we can support each other in this endeavor?
Well, fantastic. Now, how about your book? And you said you're writing a book. You tell us about the book that's coming out.
So the book. Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much. So, right. It was in February actually. And, Justin said, you know, I think God wants me to write a book. And if you're interested, I would love to work on it with you. And I said, sure, I'm game. And then the pandemic hit and we thought, okay, wow, we're staying home a lot more than we expected to, so we can get this thing, put out pretty quickly. And so it's amazing to say that we started this project in February, and actually late summer was when we had a pretty well finished manuscript. And we've just been kind of putting all the pieces in place. And so we're going to launch that on Amazon on December 8th, of course, in honor of Our Lady, because we dedicated the project to her. We did a consecration to Mary throughout the process. And that really helped purify and refine our reasons and our motivations for doing it. And so we thought, like, the cover of the book is blue because we thought we have to be Marian, and we chose a beautiful Marian feast day to launch the book. But it's in that same theme of, for ministry leaders, or really anyone, I mean, because like whether it's a lay person, whether it's ordained, whether someone's ordained, I'm positive this book will help them be more effective at making disciples and bringing people to Jesus.
Well, fantastic. So look for that book on December 8th on Amazon. And I'm backtracking a bit, but what would you say to parents who are maybe struggling with teaching their faith at home with everything going on?
I would probably ask, okay, what's the hardest part, and listen and try to understand what do they need help with? So if it's a matter of finding time for it, this is a busy, stressful time, and I would not want to put any additional stressors on them. And I would get them to consider, okay, where are the natural areas where you can have these conversations? So do you have opportunities to have deep conversations or meaningful conversations with your family already? So is there time in the car, or is there time around meals? And look for kind of those easy targets, the easy entry points where you can have those conversations. Now, if it's more of a comfort level thing, I would start by encouraging them, and I would I'd probably try to have a conversation and just begin to get them thinking about their own reasons for belief in God, their own, you know, why do they desire to hand the faith on to their children? What has God done for them? One of the most successful things that parents can do, and this is coming from the really great research of Christian Smith at Notre Dame, parents who successfully hand the faith on to their children understand why they are Catholic. They have a little bit of a narrative structure of their relationship with God. So you could say they understand where they were and where they first met God, where God has brought them, and where God wants to bring them, what he wants to do for them. And then parents intentionally plan and incorporate their family and their loved ones into that narrative, into that trajectory. And so they have a vision or a roadmap to heaven, you could say, and they're able to articulate the reasons for their faith to their children. And that's not to say that they have doctorates in theology, but more so they've thought about it, and they've pondered and they wondered, and they can put it into words and say, this is why I believe in God. This is what I can tell you about his love for us, how good he is, and why it's worth it to give our whole lives to him. And so I would help parents understand and develop that confidence in sharing the reasons for their own faith. And if they're not there yet, then that's a perfect opportunity to accompany that parent to a deeper faith and say, you know, let's begin to consider the story of Jesus and who he is and what he's done, and see if we can help you develop a deeper relationship with our Lord. Because that's going to be far more impactful long run for the spirituality of the family than just the very beautiful and true content of formation that we're going to hand on during that year of catechesis.
So essentially the parent is being that witness of what the faith is to their child. Am I getting that right?
Yes, absolutely. And to the degree, absolutely. To the degree that mom or dad or both live the faith, that seems to be highly correlated with whether or not kids continue to practice the faith into adulthood. and make both believe it and you live it. You not only profess it, but you practice it, and that you make it explicit. It's outside of your own sphere, so to speak. And I think one of the challenges or the missteps is we can be a little bit private about our faith, and maybe it's the kind of thing that we don't want to press on people, or it's just a little awkward to talk about what God has done for us. And what that accidentally does is it leaves children wondering, what is this all about? What do my parents see here? What have they experienced? And so I really want to encourage parents to start sharing that treasure trove of their own rich experience with God and what prayer has done for them in those beautiful moments, maybe reading scripture or those little miracles that kind of go unnoticed. Just that, you know, God did this, or he, you know, that person called you at just the right time, those kind of things, to help children see like, no, God is a part of mom and dad's life. And they experience his love and they experience his goodness. So I can too. And so don't keep the secret to yourself, share it with your children.
Amen. I love what you just said there. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it. It's all about evangelism, like you said. Yeah, Dan, I truly appreciate you coming on. Do you have any parting words for parents or other diocesan leaders out there that may be listening?
Yeah, I would say one of the best things we can do is facilitate an encounter with the Lord. And I think one way we can do that is we can listen. So we can ask questions and we can listen and we can wait for, especially ask questions of children and give them space to think, give them space to answer. And rather than always being the one to talk, let's let the Lord work in them. There's that beautiful verse of scripture, from the mouth of babes comes wisdom. And when children are given the opportunity, they can understand the mysteries of the faith in a profound way, and they can articulate and they can express these great reverent pious sentiments about God and about our relationship with God. And so just want to, I wish there's probably about 1,000 things I wish I could say to parents, but don't underestimate your ability to express the love of God to your children. Our good God gave your children to you on purpose, because no one better than you can make his love known to them in your relationships.
Amen. Well said. And parents, please take that to heart. It's totally
Thank
true.
You.
So
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So Daniel, thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it. Best of luck with your podcast and your upcoming book.
For having me on. I'm very grateful to you, and we'd love to have you on the show in the future so that you can share about the work you're doing.
Oh, anytime. I'll be more than happy to. God bless you and everything you're doing.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Bill.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.